Jan Mardenborough, welcome to the Maz Hakim podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Jan, not many people can say that they've had a movie made about them and they've been totally immortalized. Gran Turismo, and I'm not just saying this, was the best movie I have seen this year, and it's your life story. What does that feel like?
It feels very surreal still. I feel very blessed to be able to tell, you know, a chapter of my life to a wide audience because I've just followed my dreams and ambitions from a child ever since I was 8. And once I made it into racing, being completely blinkered, nothing else mattered to me. And it's being selfish. As a sportsman, you have to be selfish. Mm-hmm. And I'm very blessed that this has come off the back of just dedicating myself to something which I believe is why I'm put on earth to do, is to race racing cars and just to be my best. Mm-hmm. So it's surreal.
Did you cry watching the movie Gran Turismo? Because I cried. I cried for the last 10 minutes.
You know, when you watch a movie like 50 times like I have of certain movies, you know exactly what's going to happen. You know what speech is going to be said next. Mm-hmm. It's very strange to watch your own life on screen. So when I watched it the first time, I was asking myself, how am I going to feel in this? Because I know what's going to happen because I've read all the scripts. I've been on set. I've been involved in everything. So I didn't cry, but there are scenes in there that I hadn't seen with the actors on set, especially the last couple with Jaimin and Archie just before the Le Mans scenes. And it's like, oh, that's, I feel a little bit something going on there.
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of messages from people said they weren't expecting it to be so human.
Yeah.
Really.
It must be really surreal.
It is. It's surreal. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Really. People have told me there's only a few people. I'm 32 now, and most people that had biopics based on their lives in any industry, it's usually either towards the end of their life or they've passed on. Mm-hmm. And to have one when I'm, I don't know, maybe a third of the way through my life, it's very, very lucky. Mm-hmm. And racing drivers themselves don't have many of those put onto the screen as well. So, it's surreal. I'm very lucky.
And how close was Gran Turismo, the movie, to the real story?
Very. Because my life has been quite varied. The story that I have into motorsports is there's less than 10 people on earth that have had that route. Nobody's done what I've done in racing, the level. And then what's happened, I don't say happened to me, I say happened for me in my career, because I've always been, I don't care for all the other stuff. I just want to race racing cars as fast as I can, be the best that I can be. And of course, you have moments where you have highs and have massive lows as well.
Yeah.
And those highs and lows are in the movie. Mm-hmm. And what you do after those, you're judged on. You're judged on your recovery. So, when people tell me, oh, no, that didn't happen, it's like, yeah, it kind of did. There's things in the movie that aren't in the movie that have happened to me in real life that aren't in there. And where people would say, yeah, for sure, that's too not real. But, it's happened.
I went back and watched some of the scenes in real life. The scene, I mean, I hate to talk about it, the accident. I went back and watched the real scene, and then I re-watched the actual movie, and it was exactly the same.
Mm. So that was that's the lowest point of my life and career.
Yeah.
And when I was presented with the scripts, and talking to producers and script writers, there was talk whether to put that in or not, and we all agreed that it has to be in there. I want it to be in there because the story, if it wasn't in there, my life, it's not my life for one, and it would be read very sunny. You can do anything, you have success and have no kind of negativity, and you can go and do great things, but there's always, that's not real. Life in general is not like that. Any person that has success or just life, you don't have that. You have, you're tested. That scene I've never seen. I've never watched it on YouTube and I've never watched it in the movie. I always close my eyes when I see that because I lived it. I know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Technically, and you, I can relive that in my mind, the impacts. Mm. So, yeah, I get tagged on social media for like the same thing, and it's, I understand why they do that, but for me, it's like it's tough to watch.
Of course.
However, Sony were very aligned with me wanting to do that scene technically exact, because it needs to be, because of the situation of people, of a person being killed in that accident, and emotionally as well. So those scenes in the hospital, in the German hospital, where you're there, I'm there alone for periods of time, and you have those thoughts of, do I want to do this? Do I want to continue? The answer's always been yes. So I'm very grateful that Sony were did those justice, because it needs to be like that, because that's what happened.
Well, how do you handle the pressure of high stakes racing?
I love responsibility. There is something,
said no one ever.
I don't know, maybe I'm, I don't know, that's me. So when somebody, imagine you have a racing car, and then all the parts that have to be put together to create that racing car, and then the people involved putting that together, then the people who design that, and then you have bosses and bosses and bosses. There's thousands of components, and then hundreds of thousands of people, well, say hundreds of people, designing and putting that car together, and then it's then given to me. You go, okay, you drive it as fast as you can. So it's almost sadistic in a way of like, oh, I can just put the car, crash the car on the wall, and it's, I love, I don't, but it's, there's a lot of, there's a huge chain of things that have to happen for you to be, to drive this racing car, to race this racing car. And I love that. It's, and then when you're strapped into this thing, it's a living, breathing thing.
Yeah.
You have something with a huge engine, very powerful, so much energy in a racing car. And, you're entrusted with that to squeeze as much, energy from the engine through the steering to the tires to produce, to beat anybody, everybody else, maybe 30, 40 other competitors in similar machinery.
Yeah.
Better than anybody else. It's the best. It's the best. It's amazing.
You're very competitive.
Very. not in everything, because I know I used to be, because you can't, but you can't, I can't now, because there's too much stuff going on. If you focus your energy on who can drink this cappuccino, this espresso the fastest, it's like, why do you need to do that? So for me, it's in my sport and my my gym, my self-improvement. I'm very competitive in that. It's my biggest rival is myself.
Yeah,
I have other people as well I kind of use as benchmarks in wanting to improve. But yeah, it's motorsport. It's like, how do I get better? And then it's the, I'm my own biggest critic, but I'm very kind to myself now. But it's, you, any sportsman has those thoughts.
Is it true you were your own stunt double in Gran Turismo?
Yes.
Wow.
So that was really cool to do, because once I, when I initially got contacted by people that were saying, look, there's a chance a movie's going to be made about you, that wasn't spoken about. It was only in 2021, the stunt coordinator contacted the producers, and they, I think they were hesitant whether to ask me if I wanted to do that. When they asked me, I was like, yeah, great. That sounds amazing. I'd love to do that. It's never been done. So nobody's played themselves a stunt double in a movie based on their, like, a biopic.
Yeah.
Unless Tom Cruise then wants to do a biopic.
On himself.
And then, but he'd be second now. So I've done it. But it was great. And it goes back to responsibility, because I'm a racing movie car fan, motorsport, petrolhead person, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of racing movies that are a bit in there. There's specific ones people like for specific reasons. And to have a control, some reason of, reasonable amount of control on how those scenes look racing wise,
yeah,
was really, it's, my ego was satisfied because okay, if it looks bad, it's on me.
Yeah, of course.
If it looks great, of course, it's everybody else. All there's such a huge team, the stunt drivers. But at least I have some control on how it looks. And so far, people have said it looks like I'm. They've said it feels like I'm there with you in the car.
Yeah,
which is testament to the stunt people and director, and because that's how we wanted it to portray. Because it's violent. It's violent. Being in a racing car is not just sitting in your chair and just driving it. It's you feel everything.
And it's very hot in there as well. Why is it so hot?
There's like in a production car, you have heat shielding and you're kind of insulated from your the engine unless you drive an electric car. But normal combustion-powered car, there's things moving in the engine and you don't want those to translate to the sat in your seat, because it's not very nice to be sat in traffic and to be have your fillings rattled out your face. But in a racing car, it doesn't matter because it's built to do one thing, to go as fast as possible. But so when Archie sat in the car, so those scenes where you see his face and he's sweating, that's real sweat, because he's actually been driven by from the roof.
Wow.
The stunt driver driving it. I didn't do that part because they were like... I think for the insurance, they were like,
"Yeah, it's too expensive."
You can do the shots where the camera's outside of the car, but those shots where Archie's driving and then there's some guy from the roof driving, we don't want you to do that because the insurance doesn't cover it. But so Archie's been driven around, the actor who plays me, at full speed.
Wow.
He's never been in a racing car, so he's feeling everything that we would feel for drivers. So those scenes, it's real emotion, because it's like he's being driven at speed, he's feeling the g-force, he's feeling the heat. So I think that's why people get the feeling that they're with you, because the actor is actually doing the real thing.
What a cast. So David Foster, Orlando Bloom and Archie Madical, were you involved in choosing some of the cast members?
No, so with I got told I'm kind of doing my work as well during 2021, 2022, and I'm involved, but it's not like I'm involved in the casting. It's like I don't want to get involved in that, because I'm not as creative as those people. It's not my thing.
Yes.
And the only stipulations I had, this was 2018, I think it was, when I met Dana Baretti, one of the producers, was the guy who plays me has to look like me and he has to have my real name. That's it. Because I'd had the brief, you want to do a biopic based on your life. That's enough for me to hear. I understood that a lot of the people involved in the movie had done 21, House of Cards. House of Cards isn't a biopic, but 21, Sully, Captain Phillips, biopics. Those are great films. So it was for me enough to kind of go, okay, they want to do that. They want to do it right. I'm not going to give them all these requests. It's like, just two. Got to look at me. Got to have my name. Far from that, I'm fine. And Archie had been their favourite since day one of the original casting. With David Harbour as well. I know him from Stranger Things. It's like, really?
Yeah. You're like, what?
This guy's great. And then Orlando, because he's like, guy's Legolas to me still. So yeah, and then having a Spice Girl play my mother. Have Jaimin Hyusu play my dad. It's fantastic. It's really, I'm very blessed. Because when I told people that these people are playing in my movie, they're like, nah, no way.
You're like, yes, wait. Are you and Archie besties now? Well, like,
we keep in contact. We keep in contact a lot. He's a very talented person. And I admire anybody going into another industry. And it's like me going, being filmed, preparing to become a ballerina. Like for him, he didn't have a driver's license before going on set. And then he's strapped in a car, a racing car, and he's having to act. He was sick every single time we'd do a shot.
Wow.
He would be green afterwards and he'd be sick. And he's spoken about this. I'm not just really new stuff. He's spoken about this previously. But so he was... for months like this, every day, do his shots, get out of the car, be sick, get back in a few minutes later, do the same thing for months. And so respect. I have a lot of respect for somebody who can do that, because it's it shows a lot of determination and grit to do that. So I have immense respect for him.
So we touched on it briefly earlier. Can you share a moment in your motorsport career where you faced a significant challenge, and how did you overcome it?
That's related to the movie or separate?
I think in life.
In life, okay. So it's not shown in the movie, but I did this championship in 2013 in a Formula car, Formula 3, doing FIA Formula 3 and British Formula 3, which is the top level Formula 3 category out there. I'd been racing that point a year and a half. And a Formula 3 car, it's a real racing car. It really tests you as a person, as a driver. And I was bad. I ripped myself. I was terrible. Other people around me at the time, it's not true, but for me, it was a real struggle to get to grips with that car, because I've been driving another type of car, a GT car, for the last year and a half up until that point. And then I'm driving something completely different. It wasn't planned. And I struggled a lot of the year. And that was very testing mentally, very, very tough. Because I would say the best moment of my life, my proudest moment, is winning the academy. Also, 3 years later in 2016, going to Japan and doing Japanese Formula 3. So I've been racing at this point 5 years, and then everything clicked. I had a chance to drive that type of car again, and now I'm fighting for a championship in Japan in that same car. It clicked. I just needed time and experience and hours. So that was one of the... It's not shown in the movie. If people go for my career, they would see... They can see it. It's out there. But that was one of the toughest, because I'm immensely... I've already said I'm a competitive guy. And when you're qualifying P15 for something, it's like trying to... You just need hours.
Yeah.
You just need hours and time. But it's very testing. And I'm very much aware as well that there's a lot of money going into my career. Nissan and the supporters and Sony, they're putting a lot of... It's a lot of responsibility on me. So I'm like, oh, I need to make this work. Yeah. I did eventually, got there. But that was a very testing time.
And there's a scene in the movie Gran Turismo which shows the Dubai Autodrome, which was a significant moment in your career and your life. Tell me about your love for Dubai and, I guess, racing in Dubai.
So the prize for winning the GT Academy in my... for me, was the Dubai 24-hour race. It was have a seat in that race. So my first international race was here in UAE in Dubai in January 2012.
Wow.
So when I was a teenager, maybe I was 13 or 14 years old, there was only three places, well, not only three, but the three main places I wanted to visit as a kid when I was older would be Dubai, Japan and America.
Wow.
And then I've raced in all three, which is something which I never envisioned being that old. So to do my first international race, we finished third, we were on the podium. There's a lot of relevancy to the UAE and Dubai for me, and I like it here. It's changed a lot since I was last here, because I've been racing Abu Dhabi a few times at Yas. I've done the 24-hour race in Dubai twice as well. But it's been spread out over the last 12 years of me racing. So I've seen that I've come here and then there's been a lot. And then I've come here years later and it's like, okay, this building wasn't here before. This road wasn't here. So yeah, I have a lot of... connection here with Dubai.
Yeah. Trevor Noah was just here doing a comedy show, and he said every single time I come back to Dubai, he's like, it's like Dubai just builds on... Google Maps says no, and Dubai's like, yes, yeah, we're going to build on this ocean. So yeah, every time, I'm sure when you come back, it's something new.
Very. I mean, I was last year for the movie in November, and we're here for, I think, only for about 10 days.
Yeah.
But again, it's like stuff has changed slightly. I was staying... Where was I staying? I think I was staying near the Media City.
Right.
Yeah, because it's kind of near the circuit, I think that one is. So, yeah, changes all the time.
What kind of legacy do you want to leave in motorsports?
The legacy I don't want to leave, it's bigger than motorsport, really. It's more... I think about my family name a lot. Mm-hmm. I think about my ancestors and what they went through to be for me to be here today, and it's to best represent them. I think a lot about my granddad because a lot of my family, I've got ties to England, mm-hmm. but also ties to St. Kitts and Nevis and Caribbean, yeah. and what they went through to provide a better life and standard of living to my father and his brothers and sisters. So I feel I need to represent them, my name in the best light. And in turn, of course, that will, whatever I do, so what I've done in motorsport, there's more to do. Mm-hmm. Say I'm not finished yet. There's more to do and achieve. So I'm constantly working on that.
They say adversity builds mastery and failure leads to learning curves. Is there a moment in your life where you experienced failure and then you came out greater, or it was a learning experience for you?
All the time. Because there's a quote I really like about motorsport, and it's true, because in motorsport you spend most of your time losing, which is why winning tastes so sweet.
Love it.
So it's... I mean, there's times when you can finish fourth, wherever, it's great. But there's times where you crash out, or you finish way down, or there's a car failure that's out of your control. Motorsport, there's so many things and parts that have to align. Thousands. It's a miracle that you can even finish a race. Of all the personnel, all the people putting the car together, you know, maybe somebody's had had some wine on their lunch break and they didn't quite tighten up a bolt tight enough and something falls off. There's so many things that have to come together in order for you to finish a lap or finish a race. Mm-hmm. It's a miracle. But yeah, I'm in agreement of that. Like your failures, you are judged on how you come back from those. And you're going to have big ones, you're going to have small ones. And I mean, if life was just you win, and then you get a failure, you wouldn't know how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on that to this day. I'm much better at now. Whenever there's a failure, it's okay. It's a lesson. This happened for me. It's a mindset change. Mm-hmm. I used to think very early on, why is this happening to me? It's wrong. I believe that anything that happens that's presented to you, you can deal with, whether that be good and success or negativity, or failure, you can come back from that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm very much like that.
What if someone's listening now and they're going through a losing streak, or they're not getting many wins? What would your advice be to them?
Again, it's a similar type message. There's no darkness without light, and then vice versa. There's only, if you stick at something, nobody's coming to save you, for one. So getting that into your head as a person, I think, is very important. Because if you're expecting people to help you out of pity, that's the wrong tree to be barking up. You've got to do it yourself. And when you do it yourself and you do accomplish what you set out to overcome, the satisfaction that you have and the lessons you learn from that are going to be way more valuable than having a hand. Sometimes you do need a hand, but the vast majority of the work has to be done by you. You got to be willing to put in the work to mm-hmm. pull yourself and drag yourself out, and it's worth it.
Yeah. How important is it to have a coach? Because your coach really helped you throughout that journey emotionally as well, because I guess you did the driving, but mentally and emotionally he was probably a great support. How important is it to have a mentor?
It's important to have a mentor, a really good mentor, somebody who is doing it for the right reasons. I've been very fortunate to have people around me that have done it for the right reasons. So bring it to the movie. Jack is based off a real person who was with me, mm-hmm. was my engineer for 5 years, called Ricardo Davila. He'd done everything. He'd done Formula One, designed F1 cars for Emerson Fittipaldi, legends, and just a through and through racer. Didn't care about any media, nothing. He just wanted to go racing. And he was a chain smoking, coffee drinking, indoor sunglass wearing guy from Brazil, and he was a complete hero. But I say why he was my someone who I looked up to a lot. When I won the academy, there's a lot of noise around me. There's a lot of people blowing smoke up my behind, and there's I'm aware of it. I just want to go racing for one.
Yeah.
And I'm very much aware at that time as well that you don't believe in the hype. You shouldn't believe in the hype. And he was somebody who is like that. And there were people that would be smiling to my face, but would he really want to give me responsibility? So they'd be engineering the car, or they'd be around me and they'd make the joke, "Well, you can't press start and reset now. This is real life." And I'd hate it. I'd hate it. I'm 19, but I know that. I don't need to be told that. It's always felt like they never allowed me to kind of, as a UK saying, get above my station. Whereas this guy, he was an engineer, and the first session I had with him, he was like, "Okay, you know, go out in this brand new, this freshly prepared GT4 car."
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "No, you go out and do qualifying, do laps," and gave me so much time and a really significant role within the team that I was racing with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And at Le Mans as well, that was the same thing. So I felt like he wanted me to grow. He wanted me to fail as well, so I can recover from those, learn the lessons myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we aligned on that. I could feel that he wanted to bring me on and learn off his experience. And also he wanted me to be thrown into the deep end. And I loved that.
Yeah.
Because of these other people that were like, "Oh, great. But also, you know, we don't want to give you too much because you're kind of new."
Yeah.
Whereas he was... he said, no, you, in order for you to grow, you have to be able to be thrown into the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I vibed with him a lot. He was a very important person in my career. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2020.
Did he see the movie?
No.
Aww.
No. I don't think he even knew about it as well, because it was 2020, and we didn't even start production, or the scripts weren't even coming through at that point as well, I don't think. So, no. No, wow. He didn't, but his family is aware of it.
Yeah.
And he'd be looking down for sure.
How important is music in your life? Because throughout the movie, you were listening to Kenny G and what was the other one? Enya, that's it.
Mm.
How important is music to keep you focused in your life?
It's strange because growing up, I was very selective what music I listened to, because I noticed my friends and people around me, they would be really emotional depending on the music they listened to. Mm. And I thought that was weird. I'm like 12. I'm like, why are you getting so... I didn't understand it. So music, I had my selection of music. I'd listen to... my dad liked to listen to jazz music, yeah. Kenny G specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Like Go West, Commodores, things my parents would listen to. So that would be around, but I'd never really go into it deeply, my own kind of music, of course, hip-hop and whatnot. And then with the racing, I knew what kind of relaxed me. Whenever I listened to Kenny G or that type of music,
mm-hmm.
I'm very new to motorsport, and sometimes you're kind of flustered. It's like, okay, I need to make sure, even just basic stuff, have I got all my... particulars, my race helmet, my hands device, have I got my socks on? There's so much going on when you're new.
Right.
And this would calm me. It was almost meditative, really. So I kept that. I knew that one type of music would relax me and get me into a frame of mind that I don't have to think about all this other stuff going on. And so when the director, Neil, he asked me, like 2021, just randomly texted me. He's like, "Dude, put the text on my phone." He's like, "What music do you listen to before the race?" I was like, "Well, Kenny G." And he's like, "Oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic." Then I replied again, saying, "No, specifically Songbird. Specifically that song. That's the song that for sure I'll have on." And I first heard that from like a Jeremy Clarkson feature he did in Monaco.
Wow.
When he did like the spin-off show he used to do after Top Gear.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter for like the Christmas sale of DVDs, he did a feature in Monaco, and he was playing that music on some B-roll, and I was like, I like that
song.
I've had that since I was probably 12. So wow. Yeah,
I really actually resonated with that. I thought, because there's certain things that I listen to before, sometimes before I start the show or, you know, and I think it really, depending on what you listen to, it can really sort of keep you focused. So, and I love that they mentioned that at the end of the movie. What advice would you have to anyone who, whose life really resonates with your story and after watching Gran Turismo, they could really resonate with it?
I think as it goes back to dreams, I believe that every child on Earth has a God-given gift, a talent, and it's up to you to find that. But also, you have children, they have many dreams. Your child, you have loads of dreams, and somehow along the way, even in childhood, that gets kind of like knocked out of you.
Or we get jaded.
Well, I think the jaded comes from your environment. I think if your environment is done in a certain way where you're told from a young age, no, you can achieve whatever you want to do in life. You can't do everything, but you can do anything.
Yeah.
That isn't spoken about enough. And I was lucky that I had, I'm very headstrong. I think from birth, I was quite a headstrong person. So when I liked cars when I was six, and then I understand what a job was, and my dad would always tell me and my younger brother, do something in life which brings you, which is your purpose and that you're passionate about. So knowing that, and it's like, okay, I love cars, I love motorsport, I want to do that as a job. Okay, that's my dream. And I've always, my dad always said that through my teenage years into adolescence. But if you don't have that, it's very basic, but if you don't have that small structure, you don't tell your dreams to anybody, really. You don't say it to anybody because you take power away from it, and people say stuff. They'll joke and go, ah, what are you talking about? You got to be real. You got to be a realist. Like, who gets to decide that? So the messages I've had on social media, I've really enjoyed having them, because people would message me and they'd say, the movie has inspired me to follow my dreams. And a lot of messages like that. But they would never say what that dream is.
They wouldn't tell you.
No. And it's not like I prompt them. I love that, because that's important. So it's, I think everybody's on the same vibe. Like you don't say it openly. You don't joke about your dream. You never joke about your dream. You don't lie, say, I want to be footballer, and then just laugh about it, like nervously. So no, you don't do that. It's important not to do that, because it's only you can make that happen. Nobody else is going to believe in you if you don't believe in, if that's possible to do. So it's that, I think my message would be, you've got to be very clear of yourself. What do I want to do in my life? And even if it's far away, at least have some direction to it. My story is quite, I'm very fortunate. I believe in fate, but it's been very, the timing has been very good. I mean, if you've gone down a path of doing something which you don't like, and then you've watched a movie, and it's, I understand, of course, it's going to be quite difficult to kind of steer the ship in another direction, because you've already had, you've not settled, but you've steered it down this way, and it's hard to steer it another. If you have family or whatever, or commitments, I understand, but only you can do change that. So yeah, that would be, and I guess to parents as well. It's like, talk to your child.
Yeah.
Or talk to them about dreams. And
my question about that also is, in the movie we see that your dad in particular wasn't so supportive about it when you were young. So what changed, and also what advice would you have to parents to allow their children to pursue whatever dream it is they want to achieve?
So yeah, my dad is quite strange, because when I was a kid, he would say, do something in life which brings you purpose and that you're passionate about, and I've had that all my life. But at the same time, when I'm speaking about real life, when I mentioned to him that I've entered this GT Academy program and the winner gets to be potentially a racing driver, he looked at me after watching Sky Sports News with my brother and kind of like said, righto, and then ignored me. So like, I've had all this, it's like, this is what I want to do, and then I've got an opportunity to do it, and you were like, yeah, right.
Like,
so the movie, it shows that, but it's a bit exaggerated, because when I entered the competition finally, he was on board, and you could see, and he's very on board to this day. But that conversation needs to be had with children. I think it's important that has to be the case. I was lucky that. So, to answer your question, yeah, as I got older, it was do that, follow your dreams, but also you have to get an education. I kind of did, really. I'm not an academic person.
Mm-hmm.
But as I got older, he was kind of getting a bit more, no, you have to go, almost you have to go to university, because I did. Mm-hmm. I did go to university. I was there for 3 weeks. It was awful. I dropped out and worked in the department store, hanging clothes and clotheslines. That was my thing before racing. So I understand retail is very tough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as your child gets older and older and older, it's easy for the parent to kind of go, no, you have to do the safe way because everybody else is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Your life, your exam results, your GCSEs, your A-levels, I don't know what you have in UAE, but it doesn't dictate your life. It doesn't dictate the way you go. Of course, if you want to do STEM, engineer, doctor, mm-hmm. of course, it's very important you do that. But there's so many opportunities out there that you can have that isn't the normal traditional route, but you have to have trust in your child and to guide you
and let people follow their dreams.
Yeah,
you know, if you can't help them achieve it, at least don't block it.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. I mean, their route, their life isn't your life, really. The situation in, example, esports. It's like, mm-hmm. well. Imagine saying that this 20 years ago to a person, yeah, I'm going to have a career in esports, didn't exist. But then you have children, people kind of that are 20 years old now. It's like, no, they're in a industry which is bigger than Hollywood.
And making so much money.
Exactly. So it's, you may not support it, but just don't block it. Don't, because you don't know. You don't know where you're going to be in 10, 15, 20 years time,
mm-hmm.
the state of the world, where you can find opportunities. It's not, it isn't planned. It's not planned. If there's something small that the gaming industry, it's 20 years ago, look at where it is today, for one example. And other industries that were big maybe 20 years ago maybe aren't as relevant so much now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, don't block it.
What's next for Jan?
Now it's the end of Q4, it's the time to talk to race teams, time mm-hmm. to talk to sponsors and put a package together for next year racing. So I want to do some racing in Europe, in specifically LMP1 Hypercar, also in American LMP1 in IMSA, the championship's called, and also Japan in Super GT. So talking to, getting people's faces, talking to people, sponsors, being attractive. The movie is the movie, that's done. It's how can me as a package be attractive to teams, because I've got more to do.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be on a top step at Le Mans. That's a target, because third position, which isn't really, is third. It's not number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, racing.
So competitive. You're like, that is okay.
Very competitive.
How different is driving a car in a simulator? How different is it to driving in real life?
The way that you balance a car on the throttle, the brake, the steering inputs and the tyre on the limit of adhesion, the simulator games now are very good.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a decent wheel and pedals, you can feel, the car acts in the same way. And for me, that's all I had to jump into the real car, mm-hmm. into a racing car, and drive the same way and be comfortable straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's improving every day. You have all these engineers who will put all these devices in road cars to capture all this information and then plug it into a computer, simplifying it, and and exporting that into their simulators.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you don't feel the sensation of vibration and G-force. But to drive a car to its limit and know what you're doing, they're very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I had. I'm proof of that, that it can be done, that jump can be made.
Yeah.
I love driving. I've always loved driving, love cars. And it's not so different.
Wow. And if someone's listening right now and they haven't watched Gran Turismo, the movie that is based on you, it's your biopic, why should they watch it?
I think if you... To watch Gran Turismo, why should they watch it? Well, if you want to see a movie... that's a tough question because it's like I'm selling myself.
I could answer it. Because it's inspiring.
Well, for me to say that, it's difficult to say. But I guess if they wanted to see or have proof that you can achieve the far-fetched, what people say is far-fetched, then anything is entirely possible. Then you can overcome your the darkest moments of life and achieve... success after that, and to have proof visually watching that, you should watch the movie. I think Mike, when I answer the question, what do you expect people to gain from watching it?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be more, you can achieve your dreams and you can take control of your life and the direction of your life.
Yeah,
it's up to you to be able to do that, and it's possible to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be in motorsport or cars or gaming or completely something unrelated, like, I don't know, becoming an artist, like, you can do that. You have the ability to do that if that's your purpose, what you're doing that, then you should follow that. I think it's important because it radiates. When people do something which is their purpose, you have a conversation, it's like you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have a positive effect, and then if you're happy and you're positive, that will affect other people in another positive way. So it's I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Where can we follow you? Where can we follow your journey?
I'm on social media. It's mainly Instagram. I have a Twitter. I have an X account as well. What else am I on?
Gran Turismo. You really don't milk that enough. If it was me, I'd be introducing myself to everybody like, hi, they made a movie about my life and I'm still alive.
I do it less, really. I don't do it. It's.
Yeah, you're way too humble about it.
I just race racing cars as fast as I can. That's all I do. And then this has come off the back of that. But yeah, Instagram mainly. Main on Instagram.
Yes.
Jan the Man. JANNTHAMAN. Because I like to spell that. I did it when I was very young, so English maybe wasn't my strong point back then.
Well, I've never played Gran Turismo, but I've got a PlayStation here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're like the champion of the world or the universe, the galaxy, but, and there's a movie made about you. But shall we play some Gran Turismo?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah, it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. That was fun.
Thank you.
All right, yeah.
Okay, different car? Okay. Let's choose this car.
Okay. All right, let's go. Okay, let's go.
So what country is this?
I think it's a made-up circuit somewhere in Japan.
Okay.
So you're, right side.
I'm on the right. I'm behind you again. See, that's not fair.
But as long as you follow that line.
So which yellow? The yellow line?
That, yeah. It doesn't tell you where to brake, but if you follow it, you have the racing line.
Oh my god, okay, hold on. Oh wait, where's the yellow line?
It's still there, you have to brake.
You know, the thing is with sporting...
Oh shit, gotcha.
Oh, the thing is with motorsports, like, how do you not get scared? You see the wall approaching you. Like, how do you not, like, I would probably freak out if...
You're actually not bad, you know.
Right? I've never played this, by the way. Now I'm going against the... Oh, here we go. So you follow the yellow. I never knew that. I mean, I saw it in the movie, but I thought that was just an imagination, like, in your head.
It's to, like, help people that have never done it before, just the racing line.
How many seconds behind you am I? Oh, what?
You were in front of me.
What? I was in front of you? I didn't know that. I would have gone faster if I...
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, you're on... I was going to say you're on fire, but I can't joke about that. Okay. How much behind you am I now? How many seconds? Oh no!
A few now.
Oh no! I'm going backwards! Here we go. Hold on.
Of course, I'm not taking it seriously.
Right, you're so.
I'm staying quiet, so, concentrating my tongue out. Yeah,
exactly. So competitive. Even with someone who's never played before, I'm actually scraping the wall. That is what's happening right now.
Okay.
You are literally nowhere to be seen.
I'm not going
to
celebrate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to celebrate. My hands aren't going up in the air.
Yeah. Oh no! Oh, I still haven't finished, by the way. Oh my god, I'm way behind you.
I think if you had...
If I hadn't hit the wall?
No, you can have... You have the line, but you can have where it tells you to break as
right,
well.
Right, okay. But see, that would... That oh, there set. We go. That I'm like 10, up. 15 seconds behind you. Well, that was fun. I thought I was better than expected, by the way.
So right.
Thank you, Jan. Such an absolute pleasure.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much fun. For your time.